Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is Free For All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. And it's date night. So what other fun way to spend date night than to record a podcast with your loved one? I am here with my loved one, Mrs. Horn, Mrs. Laura Horn, and we're bringing you a special episode of Free For All Friday that I like to call Wife Meet Comic Books. And so here is the love of my life, the sunshine in my life, the ray of hope in these darkened times we have, Mrs. Laura Horn. Is date night going all right?
It is, Trent, until now. So thank you for having me on. This is just the worst. So,
well, we had a good run while we lasted. I think date night really went off the rails about 8 minutes into it when Thomas came into the backyard and said, "Can I sit with you?"
I know, and he's just so cute. So I'm like, sure.
You can't just see. You should just have that attitude towards me when I do stuff that might bug you. You should be like, "Oh, you're so cute." Okay, that's fine. No, so what we're doing now is we've tried the date night approach of hiring the digital babysitter to watch the kids while we enjoy little takeout food in the backyard, and now recording a special podcast for you all. And so the theme, what I thought would be fun for this episode, I want to talk about comic books, and I wanted to introduce you to some fun trivia factoids about them, but also see just what you thought, because I think a lot of the listeners to the podcast may be in this same boat where one spouse has a certain hobby they're really into. Maybe it's comic books, maybe it's something else. And the other spouse, not so much into it, but could be introduced to it. Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't know hardly anything about comic books before I, you know, started dating you. So it's been nice, actually. You know, we've been, during this quarantine, we've been watching, rewatching all the old Marvel films in order. And so that's been a lot of fun. And so, yeah, just getting to know and, you know, having some other world to go into that's not this one right now.
You see, it's nice. I just am able to pause the films, then it's like having special commentary as we go through things. Or every now and then do the thing where you have to pause the film. Wait. Who's he again? What does he do?
Yeah, that happens often, especially when I'm on my phone. Like, wait, pause it. What just happened? You're like, ah.
I know. I'll be sitting there. I'll be like, oh my gosh, Captain America saw Bucky again. He thought he was dead. And there you are. What's Governor Newsom doing now? All right. So let's jump in then to comic books, the questions that I have for you. And if you have comments or your answers to some of these questions, I would love to see them, by the way, at trenthornpodcast.com. One of the perks, if you are a premium subscriber to the podcast, along with getting bonus content, supporting the podcast, allowing the YouTube channel to grow and flourish. By the way, you should go to the YouTube channel to check out. We've got new rebuttals finally up. I just posted a rebuttal to Bill Nye, the science guy, and I put science in quotation marks when you're dealing with Bill Nye, on the issues of abortion and sexuality and gender. So definitely go to YouTube, search Council of Trent, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, Council of Trent on YouTube. We finally got a new rebuttal video up. It was hampered with the pandemic and the lockdown, but we're getting back into the steam of things. Go and check that out. But you get perks when you support us at trenthornpodcast.com. One of those is, people don't notice as much, is you get to comment directly on the episodes and message me directly there as part of our podcast community. And so if you have answers to some of these comic book questions, I and Laura would enjoy hearing about them. So, oh, and you had a message for our patrons, a big thank you of support for them, right?
Yes, I did just want to say I'm so grateful for all the patrons right now. Trent has not been traveling, as most of you guys know. So nobody's been traveling. So during this time, it's, you know, created an extra financial burden, I think, on most people in the United States. But we've seen it also. So, yes, thank you so much for everybody who's able, you know, to keep on giving or to start giving. Or I know some people had to drop off, and that's totally fine. I completely understand, but I am so grateful to God. You know, just having two little boys and one on the way in Southern California is not easy financially. So thank you very much for your support.
Yeah, it's been hard. All my talks, which form a significant part of income, they've been canceled until, I don't know, the only one on the calendar that's going so far right now is July, which I'm hoping that the Steubenville conference goes through, because I love everybody there. We're going to have Scott Hahn, my sponsor, for coming into the church, who's also an excellent priest, and I think he's the vicar of evangelization in the Diocese of Phoenix, Father John Parks. But lots of people are going to be out there, so I'm hoping that will go through. But yeah, most of my talks canceled. And then my other backup careers don't work in a pandemic. Like one of them, I figured, okay, if everything just goes to heck in a handbag, I could go be a guided tour person to Disneyland. That ain't happening. And then even after that, my ultimate fallback was just become that spray painted silver guy who gets tips on the street corner, like the living robot man. I mean, I could do that. You're always saying that I stare off into the distance. I could do that with everybody, but now I'm like, oh, I'm really out of ideas here. So, all righty, here's first question. What did you think of comic books and comic characters growing up?
Oh, geez, that's a mean question. I didn't, and you know that.
Not at all. I mean, there were comic book movies that came out. I mean, it's going to show our age gap here. It's because in like 2001, 2000 were the Spider-Man films. And you were like, what, still in elementary school?
Trent loves the youngins.
You keep me young.
I was in middle school.
No, we are also, when it comes to our age difference, we're 5.5 years apart. We are half your age plus 7. I think that is acceptable. At least now we are.
That is very true. However, even if I was older, I would have gone to go see the movies, but I don't know if I necessarily would have remembered or appreciated them. When Trent and I were engaged, we went with our friends, the Phelans, to go see the first Avengers, right?
That's right. Yes. And I was so excited and pumped to see that. You have no idea. Only to be eclipsed by Avengers Endgame. But yeah, so we went with them like as a communal date night. And what did you think of that?
Yeah, me and Sharon, she's a beautiful, holy woman, but we hadn't been following anything. So it was pretty annoying for the husbands. We're like every 5 minutes, who is he? What is that?
We're like, oh, and you're like, I am not following this at all. I mean,
it's easy. You know what I mean? We just didn't know very much going in, either of us. So it was nice at least to have someone else that was like, you know, especially she's so holy that it made me feel better about myself.
But no, it reminds me of that one. There's a pitch meeting, and I've talked about this on the channel before. Pitch meetings are really funny comedy channel. We both like pitch meetings, actually. We listen to. But they did one for Avengers Endgame, and they made the joke just like, oh, we have Captain Marvel show up, and we're not going to explain who she is? Look, we're making the most expensive TV series of all time. It's not my fault people didn't watch the last episode. So like Marvel is just like now when they got super big, they just ended up saying, man, we're Marvel. We don't have to go through character development on some of these things. You're either with us or you're not with us.
That's true. And luckily, like some of the films are not necessary, or like only little tidbits are necessary. So it's nice because you can piece it together anyway, which is nice. So, but yeah. And then we started watching the television shows together. So like Flash, Arrow. And that was really nice to, you know, introduce me to those universes also. So that was nice.
That was your first introduction really to the world of comic books. I remember, I think we were living in Phoenix at the time, but I showed you Arrow. I said, oh, I think you'll like this show on the CW, Arrow, which is of course, with Stephen Amell, the Chronicles of the Green Arrow, yeah, from the DC comic universe. And that one, you got hooked right into that. I mean, yeah, I guess it. All I ever need to get you into something that I enjoy is if there's just a solid romantic relationship between leads, especially a will they, won't they relationship.
Yeah, I know. Really? I'm like, oh, just get on with it. Are they going to date or not? But yeah, I remember I was pregnant and I would fall asleep on the couch and I was so hot because we were in Phoenix. And so I definitely remember, yeah, binge watching it while I was still nursing, and I would be so tired on my days off and I would just watch like episode after episode after episode.
Well, for me, how I got into comic books, like for me, it was actual comic books.
Yeah.
So I lived in Encinitas, California, where we took the kids up the other day. It was crazy. We took the kids up there thinking, you know, oh no, I hope the beach isn't closed. And they said, oh, the beach is open, but there is a shark out here. And we're like, oh, we came this far. As long as they're only ankle deep, they'll be okay. and we, of course, were good parents. We would never let our children become shark food. We had diligent care and eyes upon them as they ran along the beach, staying more than 6 feet away from anyone else around us. And I'm grateful that Governor Newsom did not close our beaches. He closed Orange County, but we were being good. It's kind of hard. Like, so our governor closed yesterday. He closed Orange County. There was a leak saying that he was going to close all the beaches in California because he was mad that in Newport Beach, a bunch of people, there were like thousands of people there and they weren't social distancing. But I felt like, oh, that's crummy. That's like when your teacher is like, Greg was talking in the middle of class, so nobody gets to go on the field trip. And it's like supposed to turn you against Greg, but it's like, no, you're being a bad teacher here. That's not fair.
Also, Greg had a good question.
Right? Maybe Greg has a point here. So I grew up in Encinitas, and I, you know, we would go there. We drive through now, and I would walk down the hill where my parents lived, and around the corner, there was an actual comic book store. And so we'd walk, and there's the stores that are still there in Encinitas. A lot of them are still there when I was a kid. There's Book Tales, which is the used bookstore where we got Kristen Lauren's daughter for you, which you should give a quick plug for anyone listening here, especially wives might find that a neat book to get into.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite book. I read it twice in 9 days, and the audiobook is 40 hours long. So it almost ruined my family life.
It's all Kristen Lovren's daughter.
Yeah, there are two different translations. One is like methinks, so don't get that one. But the other translation is very good. So by Unset is by Sigrid Unset.
Yeah, because it's about a woman who lives. Oh gosh, I'm gonna get this wrong. Is it Norway or Sweden?
She lives in Norway.
Yeah, it's Norway. It's Norway, and so it's like medieval Norse adventure about this woman. But that's for a different podcast we'll get into. So I'll go around the corner to Book Tales there, the used bookstore. There's that guy who had all these used books and the one cat who always lived in the corner. That cat's still there, although he's probably like Whiskers 7 or something like that. And then a few doors down was the comic book shop. And I went in there when I was probably like 7 or 8, and I was allowed to go. My parents would let me go, give me like $2. And I would pick up a new comic like every week and just start to read through them. And then, so that's how I got into that. Though I'll say for me, like, I mean, there's a lot of people think there's Marvel and DC, and that's the basic, you know, big superhero comics. There's lots of other interesting ones that are out there. You got the Archie comics, all other different kinds of fantasy literature and genre. One that is actually was like a predecessor to the superhero comics were horror comics. So they were like these, like, you know, kind of lurid horror comics. And a lot of that was later adapted into TV shows like Tales from the Crypt. So please tell me, did you watch Tales from the Crypt growing up?
No, I'm sorry. We only watched Food Channel. Okay, get off my back.
That's what happened. So now I what's nice is now with the kids is I catch Matthew and Thomas up on pop culture. You'll get, oh, Tales from the Crypt. I'm going to have to show you that. So it had this horror anthology series where it would like show TV, you know, is this these short 10, 12 minute episodes of scary stories. And the narrator who introduced each story was like this audio animatronic corpse who lived in a crypt, and he was the crypt keeper, and he talked like this. You're not impressed at all.
I am definitely falling asleep while you were talking right now.
So I would go and get these. So there's all different kinds of comics, but I was mostly into the superhero comics and other things like that. But I will say this, especially as we go and talk about Marvel and get more into that, I was definitely more of a DC person than Marvel. So, I think we hear the digital nanny could only keep them distracted for so long. You need to go pee? Here, come in here. You come here. Do you want to be on the show?
No.
Oh, okay. Do you need mommy and daddy to help you?
Yeah, I need to pee.
Okay, we'll come help you. Let's take one quick break. All right, so our little one is now safely back in custody of the digital babysitter. So I was saying that when I was growing up, I was really more a fan of DC comics than Marvel. And the reason for that is I thought the DC comics was just kind of larger than life. Like, I love just like these epic stories with Superman or the Flash, like fighting these, you know, villains that were just kind of larger than life, like Darkseid and all of these other people in these different comics. And just these kind of they were like the tales of the Greek gods brought down into the modern world. And that really is DC. DC is about like gods among men with these sort of superheroes, whereas the Marvel universe is more about, it's really character focused. So it's more about people with superpowers. Are you more concerned like, oh man, Peter Parker likes Mary Jane and it's not working out? Or, oh no, the Fantastic Four went on unemployment, which did happen once. I was not a big fan. So, but it seems like you're more now of a Marvel person than a DC person.
Well, it depends. So you mean when you read the comics?
Yeah, but then also if I look at, if you combine TV and movies, I mean, Marvel does the better movies, yeah. No doubt about that.
DC does better television?
Well, Marvel's got good stuff on Netflix. I didn't end up getting super into. So they have Daredevil, mm-hmm. Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, you know, which they end up coming together to be the Defenders, Iron Fist, really bad. Be sure to skip that. You're like, I'm not even going to think about that. But DC TV is really like the Flash. I think that was a nice thing to be able to get you into, because it was part comic book, but also kind of like part teen soap opera drama. So I think that was easier to get you into all of it.
That's true. But then it got too soap opera-ish. Like it, yeah, it just drug on, I think. And like, I don't know, him and Iris, that character, it just got to be too mopey, I think. So that was hard for me. After, I don't know what season it was, but probably after they got together is when it jumped the shark for me. So...
But that's how it always is with these TV shows. It's Sam and Diane. It's Bruce Willis and Moonlighting. It's Pam and Jim. Yeah. If you're like you're, and it's also on Arrow with Arrow and Felicity. Yeah. By the way, that one with Felicity, super controversial in the comic book community, because he's supposed to be with the Black Canary, yeah. And like it's always Green Arrow and Black Canary, and they created Felicity basically for the show, and then just kind of stuck. And it's will they, won't they? And you were loving it. But then when they get together, it's like Pam and Jim, you're like, I'm not interested anymore.
I know. And they just turn weird. Like they're not true to their character anymore. Like Felicity wasn't super funny and spunky. And I don't know, every time they talk to each other, it was like this, Oliver, when are you going to go out, Oliver? It was just weird.
I have to, Felicity. I have to fight crime. I have to be the hero this city needs. All right, here's one. All right, then moving on. Who's your favorite superhero?
I think Wonder Woman was an excellent cast. But as far as the actual character itself, I really enjoy Iron Man. I think he's very relatable, and I think he's incredibly funny, to be honest. I also really like Peter Parker.
But there's a lot of Spider-Mans. I think you mean the most recent one.
I do, definitely. Definitely not Tobey Maguire. So.
Well, he's so whiny. He's all crying by the end of Spider-Man 3 and doing the weird dancing. Yeah. Wonder Woman, I would agree with you. So you like her as an actress and portrayal wise, not necessarily the character of Wonder Woman, but you really liked how Gal Gadot portrayed her, which by the way was also controversial when she was cast, because in the comics and how Wonder Woman's portrayed, she's almost supposed to be like an MMA mixed martial art fighter. And when people looked at Gal Gadot, she's like, I don't know, like 98 pounds or something like that. And people are like, she can't be Wonder Woman, but you were impressed with her.
Yeah, I was. In real life, she's a real fighter. So I don't know. I thought they did a really good job casting her. So I thought she was humble in the film, which is really nice. She didn't try to be like a social justice warrior, which was nice. So like Captain Marvel. So I appreciated it.
Hollywood, please take note, okay? Women don't want, like, they don't want these super overly feministy, pandering, social justice type superheroes, girl power. I think that you like with Wonder Woman, she's strong without compromising her femininity. Because I remember there's one scene where she's in London and she sees a baby in a baby carriage. And she goes, oh, a baby. And it's like, you can instantly relate to that. Like, you can see her like, yeah, she's kicking butt and she doesn't have to sacrifice her femininity.
Yeah, she wasn't like, wow, that should have been aborted because that's all right.
Gosh. Yeah, so no, I agree. I think that was good. Here, interesting trivia. Wonder Woman went to my high school, not Gal Gadot, but the TV series Wonder Woman. Yeah, so Linda Carter, who played Wonder Woman in the old like 1970s television series Wonder Woman, of course the theme song, that's just not me saying it, that was a theme song, she went to my high school, and Steven Spielberg went to my high school, Arcadia High School, Phoenix, Arizona. And the school there, there was a circle building around the old library. Library was weird. There was the library was in the center, and the classrooms formed a perfect ring around the library. And so what a lot of people say is that Steven Spielberg's inspiration for the spaceship in Close Encounters of the Third Kind came from when he went that time when he was at my high school, because it's like a big circular. You're done.
This is just so rich kid Scottsdale. Like at least 20 famous drug dealers went to my high school. Okay, so be jealous.
Hey, New Mexico has a lot of things going for it. New Mexico is famous for Breaking Bad, which is another show about drugs, and aliens. And that's about it. For me, like, my favorite superheroes are still going to be in the DC world. I think The Flash is still probably one of my favorites, just because I enjoy that, you know, I like that he has a kind of limited power set, though it can even get almost too unwieldy and wide, his super speed can let him do almost anything. It's really hard to take him to write him for a TV show. Like, I suspend disbelief when I read the comics, but on the Flash TV series, it's hard because in one scene, they'll show Barry Allen. He's like, I got to run to China and back in 2 seconds.
And he got away.
He got away. It's always like, where did he go? He got away. I'm like, you could search the whole city in like 3 seconds. He couldn't have gotten that far. Or it's like he'll be, or like Barry Allen will be there and like the random goon will like knock him out and punch him. And I'm like, you could stop. You can move so fast. A nuclear bomb is moving at a snail's pace when you're doing Flash time. And yet that happens. Like, I want to be Batman, but I know that I'm not that kind of guy. I can't be Batman. Like, I'm more, if I was in that world, I'd be the goofy, funny Barry Allen or more probably Wally West, Kid Flash type person.
I don't know. You're prepared for everything, so that's good. At least you have some of Batman in you.
You have no idea how much of a compliment I as a man take that to be. That is probably one of the greatest affirmations you could have given me, my wife, and saying, you have some Batman in you. And you genuinely affirmed that, yeah, you're right. Batman is kind of the ultimate prepper. Like, if you read the comics, what basically ends up happening is it's just like Batman shows up and he's like, but I had this prepared. It's like, oh man, he really did think of everything. All right, here's one more. Who's your favorite super villain when it comes to comic books?
That's so hard. I need a minute to think. Who's yours?
Okay. When I look at comic books, I think mostly what's interesting is one of them that I really like is actually from the Marvel Universe. There's a lot from DC that you can pick. I mean, Batman always has an amazing rogues gallery. Joker, of course, is an iconic villain. But when I look at all of them, like, one that stands out among the others for me is Doctor Doom from the Marvel Universe, who is, of course, the greatest foe of the Fantastic Four. Like, Doctor Doom is just like this perfect genius supervillain who had this awesome like suit of armor that he would wear. And he was a master of science, mastered magic whenever he needed it. He ruled his own country, Latveria. So, I mean, he had these Doom bots, like robots that he would send out to do stuff for him. I mean, obviously now with Marvel, people think like Thanos is the most awesome villain. But when you look in the comics, actually, they changed some stuff in the Infinity War saga for Marvel that's good. Because in the comics, the reason that Thanos got the Infinity Stones was because he wanted to kill half of life in the universe to impress Death, who is a personified woman that he was in love with. And she still ends up shooting him down. So it's a lot lamer.
Yeah, I think my favorite villain portrayal is probably the villain from Black Panther.
Oh, Killmonger. So Killmonger, opposite of Chadwick Boseman's Black Panther in the Black Panther film, which we haven't gotten to yet. That is a good segue into our Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we're going to end the episode by telling you this is the order we are watching the MCU in to catch Laura up on ones that she missed and tie everything together and have something to do during the pandemic. But we haven't gotten to Black Panther yet. So, Ibambe. I don't think I'm allowed to really say that. Like, if I go around and I'm like, Black Panther, Ibambe. Like, if I have any African-American friends with me, they're like, you can't say that. I'm like, I am sorry. That is cultural appropriation. So let's talk then about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. What's interesting about that is it's actually not the first shared universe. So there's other properties like Ian Fleming's James Bond novels, or if you go way back in the 1930s, Universal Studios had the Monster Universe. So it had these films with these different monster characters that all inhabited the same universe. So that includes Dracula, Frankenstein, the Invisible Man, Wolfman, and so they would sometimes show up and do crossovers in different films. So they actually tried to reboot that to call it the Dark Universe. So they redid, oh, and the Mummy was a part of that. So they redid the Mummy. Do you remember the Mummy with Brendan Fraser?
Of course I do, yeah.
Yeah, so this is really worse. Tom Cruise was in it, and it was supposed to be to start the Dark Universe all over again. So it'd be like the MCU, but with the Mummy, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dracula, and it's totally dead now, completely has failed. But the Marvel Cinematic Universe is still going strong. So the MCU actually started the idea of the comics crossing over. They had done comics crossovers like back in the 40s. But for Marvel, that ended up happening in 1960s. In 1962, they released issues of Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four where they crossed over with one another and then the Hulk showed up. So it was like Spider-Man versus Fantastic Four and then Fantastic Four versus the Hulk. And it was from that that the idea of them all inhabiting a shared universe was born. And so they wrote into these the comic series, all of them, you know, working together, as opposed to before, like for years prior to that, each character in their comic book, that was their world. And then the others had their own worlds, but then they ended up crossing over. So what we're going to share with you now here, this is on the website vocal.media/geeks, of course, right? And it is called The Spaghetti Order. This is, so there's like 23 films, I think it's 23, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're following this called The Spaghetti Order. I'll link to it in the description of the podcast at trendrunpodcast.com. But this is how we're watching through the films. So you start with Iron Man, then The Incredible Hulk, then Iron Man 2, then Thor, and then Captain America. And that kind of leads you up. And that's basically how they are. Oh, Thomas, you came by. Did you say Captain America?
Yeah.
Do you like Captain America?
Yeah. He have a Captain America.
Captain, okay, yeah, Captain America is cool. He has his shield and his little motorcycle. So that gets you ready for the Avengers. And that's how the films were basically released in theaters. So anything stick out with you for the first ones before we get up to Avengers? Like favorite moments or things you weren't expecting in those first movies?
Yeah, I saw The Incredible Hulk a while back and I feel like it was good to see once. So like, I think we just skipped that one.
Yeah, no, we ended up just skipping that one because it had Edward Norton in it. And then they replaced him with Mark Ruffalo in Avengers. And so it's like, you know, you just see him show up in Avengers and that's all the backstory. He's a big, green, angry guy. There's not much more backstory you need, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much sums it up.
Okay, so then after Avengers, you go with Iron Man 3 and then Thor, The Dark World. There's a bit of a plot hole here, though, because in Iron Man 3, he's like, I'm here for you. And he expresses his love for Pepper Potts, blows up all his suits. And then he shows up in Avengers Age of Ultron with all these suits. I'm like, I thought you gave up the suits, Tony. What was that about?
Yeah, for sure. I do not even remember Iron Man 2 or 3. And I literally just watched them.
I really don't remember Iron Man 2. I'm like, Rhodey shows up. Oh, well, I mean, well, Black Widow shows up. So then going through Thor, The Dark World, then do Guardians of the Galaxy back to back, Volume 1, Volume 2. Because I find it's helpful that the twist in Volume 2 has a lot more impact if you see the emotional backstory in the Volume 1 of Guardians of the Galaxy. So if you do after Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, and then both Guardian movies, that takes you out of the release order of the films. But I think it makes it's better for moving the film through and keeping all the stories together. Then after that is probably like my favorite MCU movie outside of Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. And that would be Captain America, The Winter Soldier. I mean, it's just like a perfect political thriller. It's not even that much of a superhero film. I don't know what you thought of it.
Yeah, it was very good. I liked it a lot.
Well, good. Yeah, you were not on your phone. You didn't.
That's true.
That's how I can know you like a movie, when you're not on your phone. You're like, yes, you're like, I need to see what happens. No, I know why. I know why you liked it, because it had a little will they, won't they with Black Widow.
Yeah, maybe that was why. So
I'm like,
yeah, it was a little bit intense, actually. I'm like, are they going to get together? I don't know. Like, that's so Scarlett Johansson. Let's be honest.
Right? It's just like too much flirting already. And then after Captain America, it's like the Hulk? Really? Really? Which is where we get to. So then after Captain America, we have Avengers Age of Ultron, which flows perfectly in there. And then, yeah, you were just like, amongst everything happening in Ultron, first, it's funny that the villain is Robert California from The Office, which I think he actually did a good job.
Yeah, he has a great villain voice. So do you. So there you go.
See, that's why I loved playing the villain in theater productions. And because you get to cut the villains, just get to have the most fun. Honestly. So then after Avengers Age of Ultron, you would go to Ant-Man because that sets you up for Captain America Civil War. I love Ant-Man and the Wasp, by the way. That the sequel to Ant-Man is probably like number two or three for me in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a perfect superhero film that understands that you can have small stakes, but it still ends up being a really good picture. And that's better. Sometimes it's good with a superhero film not to have the world be in jeopardy. Just keep the stakes small, but emotionally resonant. So, all right. So it's Captain America, Winter Soldier, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, Captain America, Civil War. Now we're in Ant-Man, so we still have a lot more to get through this. But we saw Civil War together, right?
Yeah, I've seen most of these. The only movie that I couldn't make it through, but that I'll rewatch, was Doctor Strange, because it actually made me dizzy. So it did. It's like too many scenes that are shifting.
No, Doctor Strange, and I loved that in Doctor Strange when I saw it, and everything got trippy and psychedelic. Because in the Marvel comic book universe, I did enjoy Doctor Strange comics because they're pretty out there and weird. But the only thing I didn't like about Doctor Strange is that he could always just kind of come up with whatever spell he needed to get out of a jam. It's like, oh no, I'm in a jam. We need the Crimson Bands of Sidrak. I'm like, oh, you always have a new spell for everything that you're a problem with. Oh, so in the next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Doctor Strange 2 is going to be a horror movie. It's going to be Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, where he and the Scarlet Witch go into the multiverse, which is Elizabeth Olsen, which you've actually enjoyed her.
She's so powerful. She's such a good actress also. So, yeah, it's been really good to watch.
Yeah, now she's probably like, take that, Mary-Kate and Ashley. This is for you not letting me be in how the West was fun.
We don't even care. We've been hungry for 18 years.
Right. Who would have thought if I had said, like, you know, what was, you know, 20 years ago, just like, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, they're going to be huge stars. I'm like, actually, their sister's going to be way more famous than them. You're never going to wonder where they were. They're going to do a Full House reboot and be like, where's Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen? Oh, they're
I'm a 60-year-old. That's where they are.
Right. Okay, so just to round it out then, the back third of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, after Civil War, you have Spider-Man Homecoming, because that follows Tony very well from Civil War, then Black Panther, then Doctor Strange. And then the last movie is kind of bookended with the Infinity Stone saga. So you have Thor Ragnarok, which is where they finally let Thor kind of be a normal, funny person. And I think that helped his character a lot. Because before, I don't think you were connecting with him as well when he was Shakespeare in the park, basically.
Yeah, he was. I mean, that's more true to his character, isn't it? But I appreciate the goofiness for the movies, you know.
So Thor Ragnarok, and then finally ended out with Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, and Avengers Endgame. So if you missed any of that, just search Spaghetti Order Marvel Cinematic Universe and you'll be able to get the whole list. I'll post it at trenthornpodcast.com. I think the kids are getting unruly. They're gonna find us soon. So any other thoughts on comic books or comic book memories you've enjoyed sharing with me during our marriage, dating?
I think probably the memory that sticks out to me is just, you know, letting you camp out to watch Endgame. And just really being so happy for you being able to see it. And then you get in the theater and there's like four people in there because you saw it in North Dakota. So no one was there.
Best $6 I ever spent for an evening blockbuster. No, see, I appreciate that you would say, like, I'm happy you got to go and enjoy that. It reminds me of when Mary Jane would give Peter Parker a kiss when he's about to web sling out the window to go fight crime. And she would say to him,
I love you.
She would say, no, her catchphrase was, she would say to him, go get him, tiger.
She did not. That's ridiculous. That's a horrible line.
No, she said, yeah, this is good. Go. So you can say that to me and I have to like go do a debate. Like, go get him, tiger. You're not going to say it, are you?
I will. And then I'll punch myself in the face.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us. I hope this was as fun for you as it was for us. Take care. And I hope you all have a very blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.